Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey, what a powerful reminder from Peter about the fact that this week we celebrate Palm Sunday, and I love that we sang Hosanna, and what a great reminder for us to continue to honor God every single day in our lives, hey? It's so important. And on that note, another idea for you to use that card is to take a photo and put it on your social media and invite people who don't know Jesus, who don't have hope, maybe people who are lost in this world. They don't look lost necessarily, maybe, but they need hope that only Jesus can provide. One effective way you can do that is by taking a snapshot. You can make it artistic, you can make it cute, you can make it however you want to, but short of handing it in person, you can grab as many as you want. We printed enough, but I think one of the most effective ways for you to take a snapshot, make sure it's readable, and tag people, family, friends, and invite them to come. Amen. Hey, as we start today's message that has something to do with Palm Sunday, I titled today's message, The Honor Code, all right? I want you to think about the last time someone went out of their way to help you, whether it's holding the door open or offering a kind word when you needed it the most. Think about that moment, think about that time, and I want you to think how you felt when that act of kindness, that act of honor was shown to you. I remember one day I was feeling really, really down, and I just felt really, really bad about things that happened in church, and I was looking for hope. I was looking for a pick-me-up, and then all of a sudden, as if God knew what I needed, someone that I know really, really well, that I know for a long time, and this person also served in our church faithfully for a long time as well, this person sent me this text, and this text really, really encouraged me. The text simply says this: I'm honored to have you as my pastor, and I just want to say thank you for the years of investment that you have made in me and my family through your teaching and preaching. I kid you not, when I read that message, I just stopped and I just cried. I felt like God was speaking to me through that person, and I quickly texted a reply saying, thank you so much. You don't know what that text meant to me. Thank you for taking the time to write it. I feel really, really honored by your text. Today, I want to speak on the subject of honoring God. All right. If you are a Jesus follower, this is something that is a privilege for us to be able to honor Jesus, to be able to honor God, our Heavenly Father. If you're not a Christ follower, I reckon you can use some of the principles that we talk about in the next few minutes, and then you apply it to something that is honorable, something that you can honor, either people around you or whatever it is. And I also want to encourage you, for those of you who don't consider yourself a Christ follower, consider honoring God as well with your life. Make a decision to trust Him. So that's my encouragement to you, all right? Now, as I start this message, I want to have a look at this very thing that God speaks to the people of Israel at one time. And this is so important. He used a man by the name of Malachi to speak on his behalf to the people of God, specifically the people of Israel, who were just returned from captivity from Babylon. This is 500 years before the birth of Jesus, all right? And God used this prophet called Malachi. See, the Italians claim Malachi to be one of his own. They said, no, Malachi is not a Jew. He's Italian. It should be pronounced Malachi. Malachi. All right. So anyway, Prophet Malachi, or Malachi if you're Italian. Malachi. He was a prophet sent by God to speak to a group of people who just returned from captivity, and these people were spiritually apathetic toward God. They didn't really care about God as much anymore, as much as they used to. They didn't care, but they were sloppy in their worship, they were sloppy in their giving, they're sloppy in everything. They just didn't really care so much about God. You see, God used Prophet Malachi to speak and remind the people that it is important for them, not only for God's sake, but also for their sake, for them to honor God. And this is what God says to the prophet Malachi. As a son honors his father, a slave honors his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. Now, some of you might find that difficult. To honor God because you don't really have a good picture of a father because of your earthly father. By the way, respect is earned, honor is given. So it doesn't matter actually what it's like, you know, what your boss is like, what your father is like. Honor is honor. You have to give honor where it's due, right? But I know in practical terms, it might be difficult for you to think of God as a good father because you don't have a good father in this world. And so I want to remind you that when you read the Bible, you have to read it in context. I know for me, as I was growing up as a Christian, I just rely on pastors and teachers to tell me about the Word of God. And I didn't really read the Word of God for myself. So a lot of time, I don't know the context of the verses that I'm reading. So I want to encourage you, especially if you call this place your home. You know, I've said this so many times. You cannot read the Bible verses out of context. You have to read it in context. You see, every single time, preachers, pastors talk about the book of Malachi, what do they talk about? They talk about tithing, right? They talk about giving. In fact, they make you feel guilty. You don't rob from God. You give your 10%, you tithe, and as if like the book of Malachi is this heavy book filled with commandments that God is demanding all this money and stuff and worship and all that. But that's what happened if you read Malachi out of context. I want to give you the proper context of Malachi. It's actually not that difficult. This is Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. You just go all the way back to the front of the beginning of this letter. You wouldn't believe this, right? People think like, this can't be in the Old Testament. This sounds like the New Testament. But in Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, this is how Malachi begins his message that frames the whole book of Malachi, all right? So you cannot read Malachi without understanding without reading verses 1 and 2. And this is what God says through Malachi. God, so by the way, if you, sorry, I'm missing this slide, I'm so excited. But for those of you who think that, you know, the Heavenly Father must look like your earthly father, the quote from Louis Giglio is really powerful. God is not the reflection of your earthly father, He is the perfection of your earthly father. Everything you hope your earthly father to be, kind, generous, loving, forgiving, that's what your heavenly father is like, all right? Anyway, now that I get that out of the way, this is how Malachi begins his letter, and you cannot miss this. This is what God says through Malachi. This is the message that the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. I have always loved you. How cool is that? No longer do we see everything that God says through Malachi as a list of demands and obligations and requirements, right? This is despite Israel's apathy toward God. You have to understand the context, right? They don't care about God at this point. And despite their spiritual apathy toward God, their non-care toward God, God has not stopped and will never stop loving them. How cool is that? The key word here is always, always, right? I have always loved you. It doesn't matter what you do, I have always loved you. And so with this understanding, the message of the book of Malachi is this. God has always loved you regardless, but, there's a but, do not take Him for granted. Don't take Him for granted. Yes, He loves you unconditionally, always, right? But don't take Him for granted. And that's why Malachi 1 verse 6 says, as a son honor his father, you need to honor me as my father. Don't take me for granted. Maybe some of you think, oh, I don't really need to hear this message because I've always honored God in my life. Well, it's great. If you think you've done that, wonderful. We can always do better in this area, right? But I suspect a lot of us, We think we honor God, but we actually don't. I suspect some of us, maybe even many, we were like the religious leaders, the Pharisees of Jesus' days. The people of Jesus' days who only look to Jesus for what they can get, who only want Jesus for his powerful teaching and preaching and all that, but they don't really care about God. And so Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah. He said this: these people, by the way, on Palm Sunday, the same people who cry out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," the same people, only a few days later, say, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so Jesus was right when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. The Greek word for honor is timao, timao. It means to ascribe value or to treat something or someone as special. I love that. To treat something or someone as special. That's why you honor that thing. That's why you honor that person. And so what Jesus is saying is this: don't just go through the motions of religion in your life. See, that's dishonoring to God. When you just go through the motion of religion, you just honor God with your lips, but your hearts are far from him, that's dishonoring to God. That's the opposite of timao. That's atimao. Atimao means dishonor. It means to treat as common, to treat as ordinary. Some of you who've been married a long time, I know in the beginning of your relationship, you love each other, right? Oh, she smells so nice. He's so beautiful. He's so handsome and all that. You honor one another. You open the car door. You know, everything is great. But slowly but surely, as the relationship goes, you start to dishonor each other a bit more, a bit more, a bit more. And after some time, you treat each other not as special anymore. You treat each other as what? Ordinary. Normal. That's why you don't honor them anymore. And that's why a lot of Christians, it happens to us too. The longer we are with God, not that we honor God more and more, we start, like the people of Israel during the time of Malachi, they start to dishonor God more and more and more. With their lips, they say they honor God, but their hearts are far from Him. The Apostle Paul said something about this. He said, "You are special to God. And because you are so special to God, that means like honor. Like even God honors you. You have to honor God as well. You have to treat God as special. How special are you?" Paul says this: "You were bought at a price." That's how special you are. And what was that price? Not silver or gold. The price that God paid for you was the blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, what are you supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Honor God with our bodies. See, this is very common literacy method. It's a common way to speak in those days. And we use the same method today, right? It's called synecdoche. That means part for whole. So when Paul says, "Therefore honor God with your bodies," what he means is honor God with your whole lives, right? Not just with your bodies. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalm, for example, in Isaiah, where there's a lot of poetical parts, is very common. For example, Isaiah says, "Their feet run to evil." See, it's not just their feet that run to evil, it's their whole body, right? It's their whole life that did evil, but it's part for whole. We do the same thing. "Hey, nice wheels, man." What does it mean, nice wheels? It's not just the wheels that's nice. We say, "Your car is nice." But parts for whole, you see. So Paul is saying, honor God with your whole life because God honors you by paying a high price for you. The blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. So how do we honor God? With the time that I have remaining, I want to suggest three practical ways we can honor God in our life. Number one, we honor God by honoring others. This is so basic, and unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't understand this. They miss this. The most important commandment of all is love God, love others. You want to love God? Jesus says, show your love to God by loving others. You want to honor God. You say you're honoring to God. You honor God by honoring others. You want to honor me? You got to honor my wife, Hulda. You can't say you honor me and disrespect and dishonor my wife, Hulda, right? It doesn't work like that. Same thing. Jesus says, you want to honor God? You honor God by showing honor to others. I want to show you this very, very powerful verse. I reckon if you apply this verse, if you can apply this verse, the quality of your relationship will significantly be better, all right? All relationships that you have in this world that you can imagine, you and your boss, you and your kids, you and your wife, you and your husband, your relationship will significantly be better if you can apply this powerful verse that I'm going to show you next. This is what Paul says in Romans 12, verse 10. I love the ESV version. Outdo one another in showing honor. It's so simple. You want to have a better relationship? Outdo one another in showing honor. That means if you go to a restaurant with your friends, fight for the bill. Don't go to the toilet, right? Look at the people around you. Who are the toilet goers and who are the bill picker, right? That's how you have to try to out-honor one another. You want to have a happy marriage? Hey, simple. Out-love, out-honor, out-cherish your spouse, right? Why do you think Hulda loves me so much? Because I honor her. I love her. I try to out-honor her. I make her coffee every morning, right? If she's late, I make sure the coffee is in this thermos that she can take with her. You see, if she comes home late, I cook for her. That's how I show honor to her because I know she's been working hard. Because if she doesn't work hard, we don't have money. Right? I need her to continue to work hard so I cook at home. You see? You gotta show honor. When you try to out-honor one another, suddenly, man, the relationship will be so much better. Sometimes you see it the other way around. The reason why a lot of you don't honor one another is because he doesn't deserve it. She doesn't deserve it. If I have a husband like him, if I have a wife like her, then I will, well, maybe they have a husband like that because they honor one another. Maybe they have a wife like that because they honor one another. Have you ever thought about that? You know? Somebody has to start somewhere, right? So you show respect, you show honor to God by honoring one another. There's so many relationships that the Bible mentioned that you need to start honoring one another. Honoring your spouse, honoring your parents, right? You show honor to God by honoring the weak. The Apostle Paul says, the weak among you deserve the most honor. Honoring those in authority. How about that? When was the last time you pray for the government? When was the last time you show respect to the prime minister instead of ridiculing him all the time? You may not agree with all their policy. You may not even vote for them. But hey, how many of you know you can disagree, but you cannot dishonor, right? You can disagree, but you cannot dishonor. And another group of people that God tells you to honor is honor your spiritual leaders. All right, here's a verse for you. I know pastors like me, we don't like to show it, but I got to show it to you. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of not just honor, double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. So what that means is this is how you apply this verse. If you plan to go on holiday, take me with you. Okay? But only if that holiday is in Bali or Maldives, all right? If it's Bunbury, I can go on my own, okay? No offense to those who live in Bunbury. I love Bunbury. I love Busselton. But I can't afford that, all right? No, I'm just kidding. I don't want this to be self-serving, but it's true, isn't it? We got to learn to show honor to those who serve you. Honor the volunteers who serve you, who prepared this gathering for you. Especially those who take care of your teens on Friday. Especially those who take care of your kids on Sunday. Double honor, right? When was the last time you said thank you to them? When was the last time you hugged them and said thank you? When was the last time you gave them an encouraging note saying, thank you so much for your faithfulness in serving my children? When was the last time you did that? You don't think they need encouragement? You don't think they deserve honor? You don't think they can get tired from time to time? You don't think they want to quit from time to time? Can you imagine what that kind of note, what we will do, just like what that note that I showed you at the beginning did for me? Man, from time to time, buy them a gift certificate, right? You know, Hoyt's gift certificate. Go to movies for taking care of my children. Take them out to lunch. Take them out to coffee. Whatever you need to do. But hey, this culture has to start happening in our church soon, right? We got to show honor to one another. If you want to honor God, you show that honor by honoring one another. Actually, the whole Ephesians 5 is about honoring one another, right? If you are a master, honor your slaves. Don't mistreat them. If you are a slave, honor your master. Work as if you work for God. You see, honoring one another is a kingdom culture that we all need to learn to cultivate in our lives. All right? That's the first thing. Second thing, you got to honor God with your time. Okay, honor God with your time. Psalm 90 says this, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know what wisdom is in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Psalm? Wisdom is living in honor of God. That is wisdom. Living in respect to God. Living in the fear of the Lord. See, the old King James Bible used the word the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. So that's why if you want to be wise, right? If you want to respect the Creator God, the Savior God that we worship, you're going to respect and honor Him with your time by making sure that in this limited life, this limited time that we have on this earth, we use every single opportunity by prioritizing what is important, especially what has eternal value. Especially with what have eternal value. All right? So how do you honor God with your time? Simple. Spend time every day with God, not just on Sunday. Okay? 5 minutes, 10 minutes with God every morning is so precious to Him because He misses you. He wants to meet you every single day. All right? It's not a checkbox that you need to tick. It's just an appointment with someone that really, really loves you. That's what devotion time with God is. So make sure you do that. And also, number two, this is how you can honor God with your time. Prioritize coming to church. I know this is not popular now. Do you know that right now, if you come to church twice a month, you are considered very, very committed? Because average Christians only go to church either once every month or once every 6 weeks or whatever. But if you can, you have a lot of time during the week, right? Why don't you honor God by coming to church regularly? And I'm about to say something that will offend some of you. So I'm going to hide behind this chair. Because I know you're not going to like this. Honor God by coming to church on time, please. All right? All right, there, I said it. Come to church on time. Ah, my goodness. I can't tell you how disheartening it is to see at 9 o'clock, this place is only 1/10 filled. And now all the YouTube people will know it. They can't see it on the camera, right? It's very dishonoring to God when you come to church late. Do you know that? Because when two or three are gathered, God is right there in the midst of us already. When you meet the Prime Minister, would you dare to come late? You wouldn't, right? Why don't you show honor to God by coming on time? Something, I'm not talking to those who like genuinely have a good reason to be late. You puncture a tire or something, or you forgot something, you have to come back and come again. I'm talking about those who are habitually come late to church. Okay? I'm talking about them. Not only are you dishonoring to God, You know, when you come to church late, you're dishonoring to the people who serve you. I want to call Beth to the stage. Beth is one of our song leaders. Let's give a hand to Beth. Beth, we honor you for serving us. Thank you so much. I just want the people to know, when you are on duty here on the stage mm-hmm. to serve, what time do you come in the morning?
6 a.m.
So what happened when you come at 7? Are you going to be fired?
Maybe.
6 a.m.
Yep.
All right, so what do you do at 6? Tell me, like, what normally happens at 6?
Yep. So 6, as a vocalist, we set up our microphones, and then we have a sound check with the sound man, and then we go through the rehearsal, and then we go through one more time of a run-through for the whole gathering.
That's why you need to come at 6 o'clock
yes.
in the morning.
Yep.
And how do you feel? And you speak honestly. You can be angry, okay? How do you feel when you, at 9 o'clock, see this place only filled 1/10? You can be okay. honest.
Well, firstly, I sing, I worship my God. So no matter if it's 2 or 3 people, I'll still give my very best.
Good answer. Good
but
answer.
Definitely, especially during our first song, it's a little bit disheartening when it's not full, especially in our praise song that, you know, we want a full room with all the energy and the liveliness of it. So, yeah.
There you go. You serve God, so it doesn't matter 2 or 3, but it's better if it's 300
Definitely,
or 400.
Yes, yes.
All right. Thank you, Beth, so much. Let's give All right. So, not only is it dishonoring to God, but it's actually dishonoring to the people who serve you when you come to church late. Can I tell you a true story? If you do follow with me, I tell this story all the time. One time at the beginning of the life of our church, right? This was in 2005 or 2006 or something. Many, many years ago, we were sitting in a small building. I remember we had a guest speaker that Sunday. And this guest speaker said, because everybody was late to church too back then, all right? So it's been a habit at the Rocks, apparently. So everybody was late, and so this guest speaker saw it, right? So when this person, I'm not going to reveal the gender, but when this person came on the stage, right, to speak, this speaker began their message by saying this: "I see an angel in the corner, big, tall, and this angel is marking attendance who come to church on time," all right? I kid you not, this person said that, right? This speaker said that. So anyway, so this person speaks the message and all that. The following Sunday, everybody came on time to church. And I thought, wow, I should try. I was thinking of trying this at the Rocks now. So I said, man, this is effective. I need to invite him back. But I didn't. He didn't come back, you see. And then it was my turn the following Sunday to speak. And this is what I said. I said, look, I didn't see the... If you were here last week, you may have heard our guest speaker said there was an angel, big and tall, marking people's attendance. And I said, honestly, I don't see the angel. But here's what I said. Just because I didn't see the angel, it doesn't mean the angel was not there, right? It's possible that God revealed that to him, but not to me. Is that possible? Yeah. That's possible. I said, I didn't see the angel. But here's what I said next. But here's the deal. Even if it's true, even if there was an angel in the corner marking attendance, I said this. I don't want you to come to church on time because you're afraid some big old angel is marking your attendance. I want you to come to church on time because you want to honor God. Amen? I want you to come to church on time because you honor your volunteers, people who serve you. That's why I don't want you to come to church on time out of legalism, because you're afraid. No, God loves you regardless, right? But it is very honoring to God when we come prepared. How about this? Starting next Sunday, come not just on time, come 15 minutes early. Get your children checked in, get ready, be seated, be calm in your heart, get ready to receive. I guarantee you, you will have a different experience altogether when you come to church ready like that. All right? So that's number 2, honor God with your time. And then finally, number 3, honor God with your wealth. Honor God with your wealth. Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, you have been bought with a price. Honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your life. Don't just honor Him with your lips, right? But honor Him with your heart and honor Him with your wallet as well. Okay, that's how you honor God. And I know when we talk about money in church, it's always very sensitive. But this is not a financial issue. This is a very much spiritual issue. It's as if Jesus is saying, with your lips you honor me, but your hearts and your wallets are far from me. And Jesus says, you cannot have two masters. You have to decide which one you want to honor. Jesus didn't say it's difficult. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. Which one do you want to honor? Do you want to honor money or do you want to honor God with your money? All right? I want to close by giving you this illustration that I heard many, many years ago. In the 1980s, the Chinese government offered this business proposition to any business people who could build a five-star hotel in the heart of Beijing. You have to remember, in the 1980s, Communist China was still very much closed. So no businessman with sense will want to build a five-star hotel when you know there might not be very many visitors that come and visit the city, right? So the Chinese government, with their offer, I'll give you free land if you build a five-star hotel here. No takers. Except for this man. His name is Mr. Pao Yu Kong. He was the founder of the Worldwide Shipping Group in Hong Kong. At the time, he was the richest man in Asia. This is before Jack Ma. This is before everybody else that you know, right? So he was the richest man in Asia. He took the offer from the Chinese government, and he said this: not only will I build you a five-star hotel in Beijing, that still exists today, by the way, not only will I build you a five-star hotel, he said to the Chinese government, you get to keep it as well. I don't want it. You get to keep it. But I only have one condition, he said. The Chinese government said, hey, if you build this five-star hotel, whatever condition you want, we'll meet it. He said, my condition is very simple. I get to name the hotel. I get to name the hotel. And the Chinese government said, sure, you can name the hotel whatever you want. And so he named the hotel Zhao Long Hotel. When he was asked, why do you name the hotel Zhao Long? He said, that's the name of my father, Pao Zhao Long. Until today, the hotel is run by Hyatt, but they don't change the name. It's still called Zhao Long Hotel. And when he was asked, why do you give this hotel that name? Why do you name it after your father? He said, because I want to show honor to my late dad, who was a very good philanthropist, and I became who I am today because of him, and I want to honor his name. I want to remind you what God says in Malachi 1:6. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? Says the Lord. It is right for us to honor God. It's a privilege for us to honor God, to honor the one who first honors us, to honor the one who loved us. It is right, it is good, and it is a blessing to be able to do so. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.